Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The Word of God from the Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land. This is God's word. So yesterday evening, around 6 o'clock, I had gotten back from doing vacancy up at Sion Lutheran in Amasa, and I had a plan to meet back here at the church with a couple people so we could put up the camels. Those of you who are already members, longtime members of our Redeemer, know what I mean by the camels. Those of you who are visiting or new to our Redeemer, let me explain. Every year during the Advent and Christmas season, we have wooden cutouts of camels with wise men on their backs that are placed on stakes in the ground in front of the floodlights on the carpenter side of the building. And they cast shadows onto the side of the building that look like wise men on camels journeying to see the newborn Christ. Last year, scandal of all scandals, the camels never made it in the ground. We got a bunch of snow earlier in the year and it was just too hard. Our outdoor nativity didn't make it outside at all. But rest assured, the camels are in the ground. And as we were out there, we had all new LED floodlights installed in place of the old ones around the church. And they are beautiful. The building absolutely glows at night. We've been so excited to put those camels up and put those shadows on. But as we were holding them up in front of the floodlights, we couldn't see any shadows. Oh no. Does this mean no camels this year? It seemed that the lights were so bright, so powerful, that they just burst through anything in its way. But it was finally when we had someone hold them up in front of the lights and we stepped back, walked out towards Carpenter Avenue, towards Maranatha's parking lot, as we removed ourselves from the building, we were able to see that, yes, the shadows were there. And so we went ahead and we put them in the ground. Crisis averted. And it dawned on me as I was describing that to Heather last night when I got home. Oh, there's a sermon illustration here. That when you are very close to a thing, it can be very difficult to see what's plainly there. And when you step back and look at a thing from a distance and look at the whole, you are more able to see what is happening. With that in mind, something I've made it a goal to do in the new church year. Those of you who've been waiting for the year to end because, 2020. Well, the church year is already done. Today is a new church year. That doesn't mean everything will change, but thanks be to God, it is a new year in the church. And one of my goals this year is to preach more, maybe not every Sunday, but a lot of more Sundays, from the Old Testament. Now, the center of our faith is found in the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Christ's coming in his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his promise to come again. That's the center of our faith. That's the center of our Bible. But what looking at the Old Testament does is allow you to step back and look at the whole. Because the Bible is a whole. The Old Testament is not just a bunch of quaint little stories and neat miracles that God worked at points in history. More than that, well, let's just first off state that the Old Testament is like 3/4 of your Bible. Just in terms of content, the vast majority of your Bible is the Old Testament. We ought to give it our attention then. But more than that, the Old Testament is Jesus' story, because he's all throughout its pages. And therefore, it's your story. God promised right away in Genesis chapter 3 that he would save his people. He would call a man named Abraham and promise him a great people. That people would be Israel, the story of whom we find throughout the Old Testament. Well, out of the peoples of the world, God chose Abraham. And out of Abraham came Israel. And out of Israel came Jesus. And out of Jesus comes you. The Old Testament is the history of your family of faith. The Old Testament is God's plan of salvation that was fulfilled in Christ. As I once heard a pastor remind me, you know, when Jesus came and ministered, and when the apostles went out to share the gospel after his ascension, the only Bible they had was the Old Testament. Therefore, the Old Testament must sufficiently teach us salvation in Jesus Christ. This morning, looking at Jeremiah 23, the Old Testament reading for this first Sunday in Advent, I'd like you to each take to heart a very Old Testament word, and that is the word exile. The word exile is not found in our reading from Jeremiah 23, but it's all over the background of this reading. What does it mean to be an exile? It means to be forced away from your home, to be forced away from the place where you belong. And Israel were a people of exile. They were forced away from their land when they were held as slaves in Egypt. That wasn't where they belonged. They belonged in the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But that's not where they were. They were slaves in a foreign land. And as Jeremiah pens the words of the Lord that are about to be delivered to his people, history's about to repeat itself. They're going to go into exile again. This time, God will drive them out because of their sin, because of their idolatry, because of the way they'll have profaned worship of the Lord in the temple, because how they will disregard their neighbors who live around them. God will send them away from their land, away from their city of Jerusalem, to turn them to repentance. But God brings his exiles back. And he promises them through Jeremiah that they would have a king, a righteous branch for David. David, the great king of Israel, his line would continue. There would once again be someone descended from David to rule on the throne of Israel. And as the people lined the streets of Jerusalem, and that king rode on the back of a donkey, and they laid down their cloaks, and they laid down their palm branches, they sang out in joy and celebration that the one foretold by Jeremiah had come. Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But that king died. What good is a king who dies? How can a king set the exiles free and make them the people they are meant to be if he's dead on a cross? You see, Israel didn't understand its true exile. They had said, no longer will we be called those who were brought out of Egypt. Now we'll be called those who are brought out of the north country and out of all the places where we had been driven. But more than that, Israel were exiles in the land of sin. Because where they had been driven wasn't just from Jerusalem, wasn't just from the Holy Land. They were exiles from the throne of God. If you go all the way back in your Old Testament to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve eat forbidden fruit, and then we read that the Lord God went walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What did Adam and Eve do? They hid themselves. They no longer delighted in being in the Lord's presence. Sinners are exiles from God's kingly throne. The Old Testament is your story. You are exiles. Where is it that the people of God belong? They belong with their Father. They belong with their Creator. They belong before his throne. And sin drives us away. St. Paul describes in our epistle from Romans 13 how we as sinners love the works of the darkness. We are called to turn away from the darkness and toward the light, but sinners love to go away from the place where they belong. They are exiles. And so the king that Jeremiah foretold with the word of the Lord was the one who Jeremiah's pen reveals to be the one named the Lord is our righteousness. In that word righteousness is the word right. In Jesus Christ, you and I are given a right standing before the Father's throne. In Jesus Christ, we are covered in his righteousness so that we can once again be before the Lord's throne. Way back in March, a fellow pastor on Facebook made this comment as churches were closing, as people were staying home. A lot of churches closed voluntarily. We did. Others were forced to, ordered to by authorities. And this pastor made the comment, you know what this is? The church is in exile. The church has been driven from where she belongs. But God brings his exiles home. That's why for us as a church, it was important, it was essential to get back before the throne of God. Because you know what? That's what we believe and we confess happens here. That our Lord, our God, makes his throne right here. In the great hymn of the 4th century, Savior of the Nations Come, which we just sang, we sing of the Virgin Mary. In her womb, this truth was shown. God was upon his throne. God was enthroned in Mary's womb. Because where Jesus is, God is found. Where Jesus is found, the people of God gather before his holy throne. It was King David himself who sang in Psalm 22. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. Enthroned on the praises of Israel, David sang, God is found, God is enthroned, where people gather in praise before his salvation, before the forgiveness of sins, before the promise of eternal life. God sits on his throne and comes to you right here. This is where we belong. Here we are home. We are exiles, gathered out of the world, gathered from out there and everything happening out there, to be brought before the face of our loving God, who looks and smiles upon us because Jesus Christ is our righteousness. As we're out there in the world, surrounded by chaos and evil and wickedness of all sorts, both around us and within us, it can be quite easy to lose your moorings, to not be able to see the big picture. So this morning, step back, look at what God has done in Jesus Christ, and recognize that you are before the holy throne of God. In Revelation chapter 7, St. John has a vision of the throne of God. And there's a great multitude gathered before it, singing praises with all creation to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And the elder who is showing John this vision describes the multitude this way. He says, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Now that's a picture of our eternity in heaven. What will heaven be like when Christ comes again for us on the last day? It will be being delivered to the throne of God, to be before him in his temple day and night, singing his praises. But that throne isn't simply as far away as that, something off in eternity. That throne is something that comes to you today. You, dear friends in Jesus, dear exiles in the wilderness of sin, welcome before your Lord's throne, where he is your righteousness, where you are forgiven, where you belong. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.